Hare Krishna. Today is the disappearance day anniversary of Srila Ramanujacharya, one of the great spiritual giants of the Vaishnava community. He is the chief acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. He was responsible for the revitalization of the Sri Sampradaya and indeed Vaishnavism in South India. And his influence has spread far beyond South India also. This was at a time when the Mayavad philosophy of Shankara was widely prevalent and being preached. Ramanuja's contributions to the Vaishnav establishment of the Vaishnav principles is very, very significant. And he has left behind such a rich legacy of philosophy, culture, tradition, and even of methods of doing things. The entire process of worship in the Sri Sampradaya has been laid down by Ramanuja. So therefore the whole Sampradaya is called the Ramanuja Sampradaya, because he is the chief acharya. Yesterday was the disappearance day of Srila Madhvacharya, so we were speaking a little bit about Madhvacharya and his Sampradaya. And we mentioned how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur propagated very widely about these four sampradayas and the need for people to get connected to one of these four sampradayas. The first of the sampradaya acharyas, chronologically, historical, was Vishnu Swami, then came Nimbarkacharya, then Ramanujacharya, finally Madhvacharya. So Ramanujacharya appeared approximately 1,000 years ago, give or take a few years. And this was a time when the tradition of the Alvars was somewhat declining, but there was a great stalwart Acharya, Yamunacharya, who was also on the scene. But Yamunacharya had been concerned about who would lead the Sri Vaishnava community after his departure. So we'll talk a little bit about Ramanujacharya's life and his teachings. Actually, there is so much that is recorded about Srila Ramanujacharya. Many, many beautiful pastimes, rich in devotion. And it will not, of course, be possible for us to discuss everything today. We'll only talk about a few pastimes today and trace out some part of his life. Srila Ramanujacharya was born in a place that is known today as Sri Perumbudur or Sri Mahabhutapuri. His parents were very pious brahmanas. His father's name was Keshavacharya and his mother's name was Kantimati. They had been issueless for some time and quite anxious about it. So they petitioned Lord Parthasarathi, Lord Krishna, who then kindly blessed them with a child who was born in an auspicious day. And the astrologers had only good things to say about the child. The symptoms were all auspicious. Kantimati, the mother, her brother was a sannyasi. And he was a disciple of the great Yamunacharya, who was still living at that time. Yamunacharya, by the way, has had a significant influence on our sampradaya, the Gaudiya sampradaya. If you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings, they refer profusely to Yamunacharya. In fact, there are some occasions where he doesn't mention it, but many of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers are modeled along the line of Yamunacharya's Stotra Ratnavali prayers. Yamunacharya had many, many stalwart disciples, and Sri Shaila Purna was one among them. He was the brother of Kantimati. When he heard that his sister had given birth to a jewel-like son, he approached. He came there. And looking at the child, he said, "This child looks, has all the auspicious attributes. I will name him Lakshman. And let him serve the Lord in the same way as Lakshman served Ram. Another name of Lakshman is Ramanuja. Anuja means the younger born, one who is born after. So Ramanuja also refers to Lakshman. Incidentally, Ramanuja also refers to Krishna, because Ram also refers to Balaram. So the younger brother of Balaram is Krishna. So Ramanuja can either refer to Balaram or to Lakshman. But in this context, Shaila Purna meant it as Lakshman. So the child grew up to be very, very naturally devoted to the Lord. At that time, there was a lot of Smartha influence. The word Smartha comes from the word Smriti, which means those who are very attached to the ritualistic activities of the Vedas and were more ritualistic than devotional. So the Brahmin community at that time also was quite ritualistic. And their principle was that a person is known as a Brahmana if he is born in a Brahmin family. And conceptions of low caste and high caste were very strongly entrenched in the minds of people at that time. But young Ramanuja, even as a child, transcended that. Sri Perumbudur was somewhat close to a place called Kanchipuram, a very holy place. In Kanchipuram, there is even today a very famous temple, the temple of Lord Varadaraj. The word Varadaraj means, Raj means king, Vara means benediction, Da means one who gives. The king of the giver of benedictions, that's Krishna. Who can give better benedictions than Krishna? So this is a very famous temple, and there was a great devotee of Lord Varadaraj whose name was Kanchipurna. And this Kanchipurna would live some distance away from Kanchipuram, and every day he would walk from his village to serve Lord Varadaraj at Kanchipuram. And in doing so, he had to pass by the house of Keshavacharya. And there, a young Ramanuja would see him every day passing by. Just by looking at him and by hearing him and seeing his activities, Ramanuja understood what a great devotee he was. And he would go out and call him in because he wanted to serve him. Although this was not really approved by many of the other Brahmanas living in the locality. But nevertheless, young Ramanuja would always try to get his association, and he would call him into the house and serve him, sometimes give him some prasadam. And Kanchipurna, being a humble devotee, was very embarrassed. And he would say, "Ramanuja, you know that you are a high-class Brahmin and I am a low-class. I have born in a low-class family, so it's not appropriate for you to honor me in this way." But Ramanuja would have nothing to do with this. He said, "You are an exalted devotee and you are worshipable for me." So right from his young days, Ramanuja was a revolutionary, a social revolutionary, a spiritual revolutionary. He went against the tide of his times. He went against the ritualistic Brahmanas to establish that the principle of pure devotion is supreme. It has nothing to do with one's birth and so on. As time went by, Ramanuja, in his primary education, as all the great exalted souls have been, he was brilliant in his studies. He picked up everything very quickly. And time came for him to approach a guru to understand the more intricate truths of the scriptures, of the Vedas. Nearby in Kanchipuram resided one teacher whose name was Yadava Prakash or Yadavacharya. And his school was quite popular with the Brahmana lads who would go there to learn from him. So also did Ramanuja. He began to attend his classes and he lived there also, and he would serve Yadava Prakash. But unfortunately, to the dismay of Ramanuja, he found that this Yadava Prakash was an impersonalist, and he would twist the meanings of the scriptures to suit these impersonalistic conclusions. One time, Yadava Prakash was speaking from the Taittiriya Upanishad, and the famous aphorism of that Upanishad, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, is a very famous phrase actually. You'll find this in Prabhupada's purports also, when he's talking about impersonalism. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. So what this really means is that Brahma, or the absolute truth, is Satyam, it's all truth. Jnanam, it's all knowledge. Anantam, it's unlimited. So this is a glorification of the absolute, the Brahma. But Yadav Prakash explained it in a very different way. And he established that actually the Brahman cannot have any attributes. To say that Brahman has attributes means to limit it. And it's a contradiction in terms. You can't have Brahman having all these attributes. And he gave an analogy. He said, just like if you take the example of a cow has horns. The cow's horns may be broken, or the horns may be full, or in some cases a cow may not have horns. To say that this particular cow has full horns, broken horns, and no horns simultaneously is a logical impossibility. In the same way, Brahman cannot have the attributes, so many different attributes. So he was explaining like this. And then Ramanuja objected, "My dear sir, this is a very wrong understanding of the scripture. It cannot be so. If you remove attributes from the Brahman, then you make the Brahman a non-entity. Because without attributes, there is no existence." And Ramanuja went on to speak like this, very eloquently. And he gave another analogy to counter the false analogy of the cow and the horns given by Yadava Prakash. He said, "My dear sir, take the example of a flower. A flower can be red in color, it can be soft, and it can be fragrant. Now these are three different attributes of the flower. They exist simultaneously, there is no contradiction. Or the sun has heat and light simultaneously. So similarly, the Brahma, or the true absolute truth, can have unlimited qualities. And that is what is meant by Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma." Yadavacharya was outraged. "You arguing with me?" That's all he could say. Because Ramanuja was so persuasive and logical in his arguments that that's the only thing that was left for Yadavacharya to say. But anyway, time went on, the classes continued. And then one day, Yadava Prakash was speaking about another verse from the Chandogya Upanishad. And the verse was, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. The verse was not Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. The verse was Tasya Yatha Kapyasam Pundarikam Evam Akshini. Akshini means the eyes. Pundarika means a lotus. And the word Kapyasam was the one that he interpreted in a certain way that gave a very offensive meaning. The word kapi, generally speaking in Sanskrit, means monkey. And asa means the rear. So, he gave the meaning that the eyes of the Supreme Lord are reddish like the rear end of a monkey. Now, such an offensive meaning. At this time, as Yadava Prakash was expounding on the meaning of this verse as he understood it, young Ramanuja was massaging the body of Yadava Prakash with oil. And there was another student, and a couple of students who were hearing the Acharya speaking as he was being massaged. When Ramanuja heard this, he was shocked. And he was so pained, it caused so much grief to his heart that he couldn't control himself. And his eyes became full of tears. And they were hot tears of distress. And one of those tears fell on the body of Yadavacharya. And it scorched him because it was a hot tear. Yadavacharya looked around and said, he looked and saw Ramanuja's face and he saw the tears. And he said, What is that? Why? Why are the tears in your eyes? Because he didn't feel there was any reason for any grief. So then Ramanuja said, "My dear sir, the kind of explanation that you have given is very painful. It is not the correct explanation. You have twisted it in a way that is very offensive to the Supreme Lord." Ramanuja, I beg your pardon, Yadava Prakash was again enraged. He said, "You have a better explanation? Let us see." So Ramanuja began to explain. He said the word kapyasam can be understood differently. He said the word kapi means monkey, but that's not the only meaning for the word monkey, for the word kapi. The word kapi can be split as ka and pibati. Ka means water. Pibati means the wood drinks. So kapi means that which drinks. It refers to the sun, because the sun drinks up the water from the ocean and then showers it back as rain. Or the word kapi can also mean the lotus stalk, because lotus stalk sucks in the water from the lake. And Pundarik means lotus. So what this verse means is, and asam, by the way, he said means to vikasane, means to open. So what this verse really means is that the Supreme Lord has eyes that are blooming like a lotus that is opening up, that is blooming out. That is the real understanding of this. Yadava Prakash was again outraged. He said, "But that is a secondary meaning, not the primary meaning." And he couldn't speak anything more. In his heart, now he was getting alarmed. "This young boy is not like my other students. He argues with me. He disagrees with me. And he's brilliant. He can be the cause of my disrepute. I have such a nice reputation as a great scholar and teacher, and this boy could spoil it all. And not only that, he is preaching some other siddhanta apart from what our beloved Shankara has spoken. So it's very dangerous. We must do something to get him out of the way." So he called together a few like-minded students who thought similarly as him. And he told them, "Look, this Ramanuja is a danger to our teachings and to our line. We must think of some way of getting rid of him." So they hatched a conspiracy. So even spiritual life is full of conspiracies. Huh? The history of spirituality is full of so many exciting things. You have it all there. You don't need anything outside spiritual life. All the adventure and everything is there. Murder and attempt, everything. You find it there in spiritual circles. Yes? So Yadava Prakash hatched a plot. "Yes, we will all go to take bath in the Ganga. And on the pretext of going to the Ganga, we will carry Ramanuja with us. And when we go to Manikarnika Ghat in the Ganga, we will drown Ramanuja there. And anyway, because the Manikarnika Ghat is a very famous ghat which gives liberation, and one who takes bath there gets liberated, so we will not, our sin will not touch us. So this was their perverted logic. So then they decided to go to Ganga. You know, from Tamil Nadu in South India, Ganga is a long, long way off. Several thousand kilometers. Ramanuja had to be practically persuaded to come, but he agreed out of deference to the wishes of his teacher. So he agreed and they went ahead. Now Ramanuja had a cousin, his maternal cousin, called Govinda. Now Govinda also knew about this plot, but the other students kept Govinda away from Ramanuja so that they were afraid that he would spill the beans. So they went into the forest, and in those days, as you know, there were no motor cars and no aeroplanes and trains, so they had to walk. And it would take them months to reach their destination. Many times in pilgrimages like this, people would die on the way. Such was the life in those days. So they went along into the forests. After traveling a couple of thousand kilometers, they reached the Vindhya Mountains, halfway to their destination. At that time, Govinda got the opportunity, because Ramanuja had somewhat strayed behind to answer the calls of nature, and then Govinda went back and quickly in a few words mentioned to him that there was a plot like this. Ramanuja was horrified to hear this. He immediately fled from there and went in the opposite direction. And Govinda then gave a story that Ramanuja couldn't be found. Yadava Prakash sent his students in different directions, but when they couldn't find Ramanuja, they presumed that he had died somehow. So in his heart, Yadava Prakash was relieved that they would not have to do any sinful activity in Banaras where they went, that Providence had taken care of his desires. Meanwhile, Ramanuja started running back towards his hometown, which was thousands of kilometers away. Then gradually, as he walked through the forest, it was a very dense forest, he happened to come across a couple, a man and a woman, who were hunters. They were dressed like hunters. So he asked them that, I want to go down south. Would you let me accompany you, because I don't know these regions? And they happily agreed. All day long, they walked and walked and walked. When it was sundown, they decided to take some rest under a tree. And since they were all tired, and especially Ramanuja, he fell asleep very quickly. But as he was drifting into sleep, he overheard the wife telling the husband that, if there is some water nearby, can you please get me some to drink? And the husband told her that, it's already dark now, please wait till dawn, just a few hours, and I will get you some sweet water from nearby. There is a pond here. Ramanuja, as he was drifting to sleep, had the thought, oh, I wish I could have helped this couple with some water, because they have helped me so much. But I don't know this region. I'm a newcomer, so I don't know where to find water here. So then he fell asleep. The next morning when he woke up, he didn't find this couple anywhere. And he was perplexed. Then he went out and he found the pond that the hunter had been talking about. And in the distance, he could see a whole bustling village, a township with a spire of a temple. And he asked one Brahmin who was passing by, my dear Brahmana, which is this town? So that Brahmin looked incredulously at Ramanuja and said, my dear Brahmana, have you gone mad? Don't you know this is Kanchipuram? Ramanuja his head was spinning. He said, how is that possible? We were thousands of kilometers away. In one night, this couple just transported me a couple of thousand kilometers? And then the realization dawned upon him that the couple who had actually escorted him and transported him somewhere mystically were none other than Lakshmi and Narayan. And then he fell to the ground unconscious in bliss. He was so overwhelmed with the thought that the Supreme Lord had kindly saved him. And he began to offer so many wonderful prayers to the Lord. And then from that pond, he took some water to offer it to Varadaraj, who was in the same town. So then Ramanuja came back to the village. In the meanwhile, Yadava Prakash and his group, they went to the Ganga. They finished their business of the parikramas and they came back. Yadava Prakash was shocked to see Ramanuja hale and hearty back in Kanchipuram. But of course he feigned happiness on seeing him. Ramanuja, we are so happy to see you here, hale and hearty. We were so anxious about you and so on. And then the teachings continued in the class. Things went on like this. One day, there was another such discussion where Yadava Prakash gave some twisted interpretation of the scripture. Ramanuja once again objected. And this was the last straw for Yadava Prakash. And he said, "Now I think it's better you leave my school. Go away from here. Find a teacher who's more congenial to you." So Ramanuja was actually relieved to get this command, because he was finding it intolerable to day in and day out have to hear all these twisted interpretations of the scriptures which give such wrong conclusions against the principles of devotional service. So he went home to his mother and he explained the predicament. And she said, "Enough of your studies. Give up your studies and just serve Lord Varadaraj. That's enough." She was a great devotee actually. "Enough of all this scholasticism. And you go and ask Kanchipurna what service you should do for Lord Varadaraj." So Ramanuja went up to Kanchipurna, whom he really admired and loved very much, respected him. And Kanchipurna said, "Okay, so you should take water from that pond, the same pond, and every day you should bring water for Lord Varadaraj. This will be your service." So the great scholar Ramanuja was now every day doing this menial service for Lord Varadaraj. He was very humble by nature. He didn't think that I'm such a great scholar and all day I'm just doing such menial services. We see this in the lives of all our great acharyas, whatever sampradaya they may have been in, like Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. He was always doing menial services for Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, bringing water from the Yamuna, cleaning, cooking, washing the pots, even though he was such a great philosopher and scholar. So Ramanuja continued to do this. In the meanwhile, some Sri Vaishnavas from Sri Rangam had come to take darshan of Varadaraj. And some constantly people from Kanchipuram would also go to Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam was the famous pilgrimage place where the temple, the celebrated temple of Lord Ranganath is. Yamunacharya used to be based there. And his anxiety was increasing by the day. "After I leave, I am an old man now. Who is going to be the torch bearer of our faith?" And just as he was meditating like this, some Vaishnavas came from Kanchipuram and they said, "Your Holiness, we have some good news for you. There is this young man, Ramanuja, who expounds the Vaishnava philosophy. And he has this teacher, Yadava Prakash, and who always teaches impersonalistic Advaita conclusions. And they narrated the episodes that happened, the Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma episode and the other episode about the monkey. And Yamunacharya was overjoyed to hear this. He said, "Come, let us go right now. I want to go to Kanchipuram at this moment." So immediately, even though he was very old, Yamunacharya rose, he had darshan of Ranganath and immediately departed for Kanchipuram. Having reached Kanchipuram, he came in front of Lord Varadaraj. He began to offer beautiful prayers to Lord Varadaraj. And then he said, "O Lord, you are known as Varadaraj, the king of the givers of benediction. By your mercy, a deaf person can hear, a blind person can see, a dumb person can speak, a lame person can run, and a barren woman can bear a child. So I beg of you to grant me this one benediction, that Ramanuja, that you will empower Ramanuja to become the torchbearer of our faith." And just at that moment, Yadava Prakash happened to walk in with his students. Actually, this incident happened slightly before Yadava Prakash expelled him from the school. And then somebody pointed out, there is Ramanuja in that group there. And Yamuna was very eager to see which one of them is Ramanuja. Then his disciple pointed out, such and such person there, the effulgent personality there is Ramanuja. And Yamunacharya looked at him longingly and drunk his beautiful form with his eyes. When will that day come when Ramanuja will be able to fulfill this mission? He was thinking like this in his heart. He didn't speak it out. And then some urgent business came up in Sri Rangam, and Yamunacharya was obliged to return. He went back. In the meanwhile, Yamunacharya's thoughts continued to dwell upon Ramanuja. And then the incident happened that Yadava Prakash expelled Ramanuja from the school. This news also reached Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya was again overjoyed. Very good. That he has been expelled from this school. I was hoping for this disconnection between Yadava Prakash and Ramanuja. It seems that Varadaraj is fulfilling my desire. And then he sent one of his disciples, Mahapurna. He said, "Go and in front of Varadaraj in Kanchipuram, chant my stotras which I have composed. And let Ramanuja hear. And when he hears you chanting these wonderful prayers, he will want to know who has composed them. And then you bring him to me." At this time, Yamunacharya was very sick. He was very old and he was very sick. And in fact, he was on his deathbed. The disciples were very anxious that he could leave at any time. So Mahapurna was in a great hurry. And Mahapurna rushed towards Kanchipuram. And sure enough, when he came in front of the deity, and he was reciting all these wonderful compositions of Yamunacharya and glorification of the Lord, Ramanuja happened to come by carrying his water for the deity. And he was spellbound hearing these compositions. And he heard it carefully, and then after that he came forward and said, "My dear sir, what are these wonderful prayers that you have chanted? Who has composed them?" Then Mahapurna said, he was just waiting for this moment. He said, "The great Yamuna, who resides in Sri Rangam, has composed this." Sir Ramanuja said, "Can I come and meet him?" He said, "Yes, come with me." And right there and then they left and they started walking towards Sri Rangam. It took a while to walk down from Kanchipuram to Sri Rangam. And as it happened, by the Lord's arrangement, when they reached Sri Rangam, they found a huge crowd had gathered. And upon inquiry, they asked, "My dear friend, what is going on here? Why have so many people gathered?" And then one Brahmana said, "Alas, alas, the great Yamuna has left us." And both Mahapurna and Ramanuja fell to the ground unconscious because they were lamenting. And Mahapurna, because his beloved spiritual master was no more. And Ramanuja, because he had been eagerly waiting for the time to meet Yamunacharya. And then finally they controlled themselves and they went to the place where Yamunacharya's divine body was laid to rest before the Antyeshti Kriya, or the last rites, were performed and his body was placed in Samadhi. So when Ramanuja came, he offered his respects to Yamunacharya's body and shed many tears of grief. And at that time he noticed that Yamunacharya's hands, or one of his hands, he had three fingers that were bent like this. It was an unusual posture. Normally your fingers are extended. So he asked one of the disciples, he said, why is it that the holy sire's three fingers are bent like this? He said, oh yes, I never noticed it. We don't know. This is a puzzle. Then Ramanujacharya had an inspiration. And in front of all the assembled Vaishnavas there, he declared that I vow in front of Yamunacharya now that I will devote my life to Vaishnavism. I will accept this mission of spreading the message of devotion to Lord Vishnu everywhere and bring people into this fold. When he finished saying this, one of the fingers that were closed opened up. They came straight, even though he had departed from the world. And then Ramanuja said, I also take another vow that I will write a commentary to the Vedanta Sutra, which shall be called the Sri Bhashya, and I shall propagate this widely. The second finger opened up. And then Ramanuja said, I make a third vow that I will elaborately write on and preach the glories of Parashara as he has described in the various Puranas. The third finger opened up. Everyone was struck with wonder. And everyone understood that this was a divine indication that Ramanuja would be the torchbearer of the Sri Vaishnava faith. He would be the leader. Everyone was overjoyed, even in the midst of this grief, that yes, now we will have someone to lead us. Ramanuja went back to Kanchipuram. He continued his services to Lord Varadaraj. In the meanwhile, he had been wanting to get initiated. So he went to Kanchipurna and said, please initiate me with the Pancha Sanskaras, the five Samskaras. And Kanchipuram said, wait, let me ask Varadaraj. Now, one of the astonishing things in the lives of these great acharyas is that they would converse with the deity and the deity would reply to them. And the deity would reply sometimes directly and often through the means of the pujari. The pujari who was giving the charanamrita or something like that. Suddenly the pujari would say something and the answer would be received. So Kanchipurna said, let me ask Varadaraj and I'll tell you. Then he came back to Ramanuja after a day and he said, Ramanuja, Varadaraj wishes you to get initiated from Mahapurna. Mahapurna was the same disciple of Yamuna who had been sent by Yamuna to entice Ramanuja to come to Srirangam. So immediately Ramanuja left for Srirangam, hoping to meet Mahapurna and get initiation. Meanwhile, Mahapurna was also internally inspired to move towards Kanchipuram to meet Ramanuja. And they met halfway. And at that time, Ramanuja offered his respects and said, my holy sire, I wish to take initiation from you. So Mahapurna said, well, let us wait till we reach Varadaraja's temple. And in the holy precincts of the temple, I will award you initiation. And Ramanuja said, no, no, there's no time. There is no time here and now, please. He was possessed with a sense of urgency. Because having just witnessed the passing away of Yamuna, Ramanuja was in a hurry now. So Mahapurna was impressed by his intense enthusiasm and his urgency. So there and then, in the middle of the forest, on the way, he performed the fire sacrifice and gave him all the sanskaras, the pancha sanskaras. And then Ramanuja was formally initiated into the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Although he, of course, had a natural devotion, and Kanchipurna had been his Shiksha Guru. And then he went back home. There are many stories that happen after this, but I'll just narrate one story which I missed out, which happened just prior to Yadava Prakash expelling Ramanuja from his school. It so happened that the king of Kanchi, his daughter, the princess, was possessed by a ghost. And she was talking, or rather blabbering many, many things and behaving in strange ways. So the king sent his men to call Yadava Prakash, because he was reputed as a great scholar and a pandit of many mantras and so on, that please come and exorcise my daughter. Exorcism means to get somebody rid of ghosts that may be possessing that person. So Yadava Prakash, when the king's men came to him, he said, go back and tell this ghost in the body that Yadava Prakash is commanding you to leave. So the king's men went back to the princess and spoke to her when she was possessed like that Yadava Prakash commands you to leave. So the princess replied, actually it was a ghost speaking through her, who replied, go and tell Yadava Prakash he should leave Kanchipuram. So they went back, ran back to Yadava Prakash, and then Yadava Prakash said, okay, it looks like I have to deal with it personally. So he went there with a whole group of his students. And then he came to in front of the princess and said, oh ghost, leave the body of this princess immediately. And the princess, that is the ghost, replied, oh Yadava Prakash, what power do you have to come here and command me to leave? You do not even know who you are, who you were, and who I am, and who I was. So Yadava Prakash said, then it seems you know who I was, so please tell me who I was. So the ghost replied through the body of the princess, you were an iguana. You know what an iguana is, like a lizard, in the previous life. And you were living on the Madhurantaka tank. There's a water reservoir. So you were living there. And one time a group of Sri Vaishnavas came there, and they were taking their prasadam there. And some crumbs of prasadam fell on the floor, on the ground. And after they departed, you scurried out from the grass, came on there, and you took the remnants of their Mahaprasadam. And because of that, you got the body of a Brahmana in this life. Power of Mahaprasad, yes? Bhakta pada dhuli ar bhakta pada jal, bhakta bhukta avashishta etina mahabal, Chaitanya Charitamrita says. The dust of the feet of a lotus, of the devotee, the remnants of his prasadam, and the water that washes his lotus feet are very powerful. So just see, here was a lizard or an iguana who got the body of a Brahmana, which is considered a high birth, just by eating a few crumbs of Mahaprasadam, Mahaprasadam. And the ghost continued, I was a Brahmin in my previous life, but I committed some great offenses. So I have now the body of a ghost. Yadava Prakash was astounded to hear all this. And then the ghost said, but there is one way I will leave. Your holy disciple Ramanuja, who is here, let him come and put his feet on my head. So Yadava Prakash was now desperate because his reputation was at stake. So he told his disciple Ramanuja, you do that. So Ramanuja went and said, all right, I will put my feet on the princess's head. But what is the proof that you have left? He said, when I leave, you will see the branch of this tree, such and such tree, you will see that breaking. Then you can understand that I have left. So Ramanuja put his lotus feet on the head of the princess, and immediately the ghost left her body, and the branch of the tree cracked and broke. And the king then was very, very happy. Yadava Prakash was relieved that his reputation had been preserved, protected, and they went back. So these were some of the miracles that young Ramanuja did even before he was initiated formally into the Sri Sampradaya. But now from Mahapurna, he was formally initiated, and now he was full of zeal for preaching. Some years ago, his mother had already got him married, and his wife was staying with him and his mother, but his wife was not so devoted. She was a little more ritualistic. And Ramanuja was unhappy about this. And eventually he took sannyas. But that's a long story. There are many other pastimes. Ramanujacharya went on. Perhaps today, this evening, we can talk a little bit about his passing away pastimes. Because today is his disappearance day. We can do that in the evening perhaps. So Ramanujacharya was a stalwart acharya. After he took sannyas, he boldly went around spreading the message of pure devotional service everywhere. It was like a revolution. It was like a cyclone. Wherever he went, he had hundreds of followers. He converted kings and commoners alike. And because of Ramanuja, he lived for a long time. The cult of Sri Vaishnavism actually became very deeply entrenched in the culture of the people of South India. And that culture remains to this very day. So we owe a lot to Ramanuja that he kept alive the tradition of pure devotion to Lord Krishna. The tradition that had been carried forward from great devotees in the Sri Sampradaya like the Alwars, 12 of them. Ramanuja was a befitting successor to them. And the Sampradaya still carries on today in many, many parts of South India. So time doesn't permit us to go ahead. We will stop here. Srila Ramanujacharya ki jai.